opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is Jefferson State of Mind, and we don't have music this morning because there was a little work done on the computer, and Sue's doing her best to get that fixed, but at this point, I heard voices. How you doing, Sue?
Fantastic.
I love you, darling. If it's not one thing, it's ten. So, I mean, the good news is they had some work done to the computers, and they've got some things up. The bad news is that we don't have music. I could hum, I guess. Or maybe you and I could do a duet in the key of L, huh?
Sure.
What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right. Anyway, we are broadcasting live here from KCNR from downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where you normally say the music sounds better, 1460 AM at your talk radio. Very interesting things going on. There sure isn't a limit of things to talk about this morning, but yesterday was a rally basically put on by the Freedom Angels, along with some other folks. And at this rally, there were hundreds and hundreds of people. It was in Sacramento. They have now lined around the capital of Sacramento, right next to the sidewalk. They have lined it all the way around with fence. And there was at least 100 highway patrolmen standing back there about 50 yards from the fence on the Capitol grounds, which the people who own it are not allowed to go on. Thank you, King Newsom. Second thing that happened there is that we had, maybe 20 speakers. Chris Ann Hall was one. Our guest who's coming on, Kurt Euler, was one. And it was just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful time. Great music, great speakers. Chris Ann Hall knocked it out of the park. And to give you an idea, just on her Facebook page going live, she had approximately 72,000 hits during that time. That's amazing. I would expect probably close to at least a half a million hits on the whole event down there. Anyway, I tried to interview a few of the highway patrolmen. Did get a couple of the supervisors to walk toward me near the fence because, again, I was not allowed to go on the property which I own, which is Veterans Park in Sacramento, because the governor had made the edict to the highway patrol saying, get those blanking people off my lawn. And so the highway patrol being doing their job, or so they say, was making sure that people didn't come on the grounds. I did talk to two of them, and I said, you know, I noticed something here with all of you folks. That is that the Highway Patrol on May the 1st never wore a mask back here. There was hundreds of you back here, and you weren't wearing masks, and today you're all wearing masks. Why is that? Did the governor say that the threat was a bigger threat now than what it was? And they simply told me, we can't answer any of that. You'll have to ask the health department. But I could tell they were very frustrated, just for a show. So they're all wearing masks this time, but last time they didn't. You know, really and truly, folks, at what particular point are we going to stop swallowing all this stuff that's being given to us by the state of Sacramento, and especially the state of Sacramento, the capital in Sacramento, and also by the governor? I mean, at what point do we stand up and say, you know what? We're tired of this. We're tired of you breaking the law, Governor Newsom. We're tired of you acting like a king over us. There is no law. There is no way on God's green earth that he should be able to keep us from going on the Capitol lawn, period. End of sentence. How much more of this do we take? Well, anyway, Chris Ann Hall was amazing as a speaker, as usual. And she talked about the Constitution. She talked about what the governor was doing, what was legal and what wasn't. And when she did one portion of her speech on the governor's oath of office, it was amazing. He broke it all. I mean, he basically broke it all. And we will be having her on in a couple of weeks. And hopefully we can get her on both our program and maybe an hour into Sovereign Minds, too. My partner here, Wynn Carpenter, is on assignment, and he's doing some family things today, which are necessary, and it's good things. But anyway, we just a shout out there to my partner. I know he's on the road somewhere listening, and I think that we have to start realizing that really and truly, California being as broken as it is, that there really isn't any fixing it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And when our guest does call in, we'll be talking to him about the amazing, amazing video he did and the response he got from California when he, as a supervisor of Placer County, made the determination that, gee whiz, we don't really have a state of emergency here. What's going on? And, I think it's one of those things where we have to really start understanding that even a lot of our elected officials, supervisors especially, we're behind the eight ball on this thing. And so we'll be talking to him about that. And we're excited to have him on. Anyway, he should be on here in just a minute. I think that he is on the line now, I think. And he is. So with that, Susie Q, can we welcome Kirk Euler? How you doing, Kirk?
I'm great, thanks. How are you this morning?
Oh, the fun never stops here, brother. Well, we'd like to hear a little bit about yourself. You're a supervisor from Placer County, and a man who many of us believe really stood up for a lot of us. You showed a lot of courage in that. Can you give us a little bit about your background?
Sure, happy to. So, family, I'm third generation Californian. My kids are fourth generation Californian. I was born down in Southern California, where at the time my dad was a partner in a law firm, and in 1970, he got a call from his law school classmate, a fellow named Ed Meese, who at the time was Ronald Reagan's chief of staff when Reagan was governor, and they wanted my dad to join the administration in Sacramento. And so my dad packed up the family and moved up to Northern California, where we landed in a beautiful place that's now referred to as Granite Bay, right by Folsom Lake. And my dad spent his time working with Reagan and helping out with creating the very first effort to pass a balanced budget amendment in California, first shot at doing that. And it was really funny because my dad was able to prevail upon Reagan to move forward with that over the objections of some of his advisors. And Reagan's one caveat, his one condition was, all right, I'll move forward with putting this thing on the ballot, but I want to make sure that if we get it passed, that it passes constitutional muster. So my dad went over to McGeorge School of Law and found a young constitutional law professor named Anthony Kennedy and brought Kennedy into the process, and 43 drafts later they had their Proposition 1, which they put on the ballot. Unfortunately, it did not pass at the time, but then of course subsequently we had the GAN limit that got passed in California, which my dad was a part of helping draft as well. So that's kind of my background from a family standpoint. I personally first ran for the Board of Supervisors in 1992. I was a brash 24-year-old and managed to unseat the incumbent and served one term before I decided to run for the state legislature in an open seat and showed up to a gunfight with a knife in my hand and lost that one. And then went on to just spend my time in the private sector for a number of years, helping build a couple of dot-com startup companies. And then in 2006, when Ted Gaines got elected to the state legislature, Ted had my old seat. When he got elected to the legislature, I went ahead and put my name in for the appointment by our county's charter. There's a 30-day window in which the other four supervisors, when there's a vacancy, the other four supervisors must appoint the replacement within 30 days unanimously. Otherwise, it goes to the governor. And so the four of them chose me, and I've been on the board, back on the board since 2006.
Well, you know, you took an interesting stand and were commended for it. In fact, the video you did, I believe, had like 150,000 hits in about 24 hours. amazing stuff. You were a supervisor who was given information, and rightly so, I think, like all the supervisors that were given the information. I know in our county, out of 180,000, we were supposed to have 126,000 people get COVID. And so some of the interesting things that were sent to us originally that we found out was erroneous, you guys had that sent to you. And, of course, you wanted to protect your people. But then you came to a realization. And when we get back from the break, I want you to tell folks about it and tell folks how you handled that realization. I mean, your ratio of 668 to 8, I love. I just love that. Anyway, sir, we're going to go off to our first break here, and we'll be back. So stay with us during the break. Time has come for 51. Let's get it done.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Reading Rancheria is proud of our efforts to help lead our community to reopen the local economy in a safe and effective way. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria and a member of the Shasta County Roadway to Recovery Committee. I would like to thank Shasta County for practicing safe social distancing. As coronavirus cases continue to shrink, Shasta County is looking at ways to reopen our economy in a meaningful and safe way. Make no mistakes, we are not through this yet. We have, however, been blessed with an opportunity to discuss ways to reopen businesses. We are proud to play our part.
Talking to a guy right now who stood his ground, and a guy right now we're talking to didn't back down either, and that's Kirk Euler. Kirk.
And I'm not going to stand in this fight. This is a fight that's got to be engaged and is absolutely worth winning.
Well, you know, the thing is that you're standing up for the people, and there's certainly no benefit to you in doing this other than it's the right thing. But I want you to go and tell folks about when you finally came to the realization that the COVID was blown out of proportion, to say the very, very least. Tell us the story about that and your emails back and forth. That's just great stuff. So, well, sir, we're ready to hear.
Sure, thank you. So really what it came down to was just the realization that our healthcare system was not only not overwhelmed, it was completely underwhelmed to the point where we're starting to hear from our hospital administrators here in the south part of Placer County. Kaiser has a significant presence, very large hospital here, and Sutter has a significant presence here as well. And the two of those hospitals combined have a total staffed bed capacity of 668 beds. And at the time that I first kind of tripped to this notion that we are way beyond this being a state of emergency, we had 13 people in the hospital with this disease at a staff bed capacity of 668. And so I started from that standpoint of are you kidding me? Really? This is, you know, not only are, like I said, are we not overwhelmed, but when they went and rescheduled all their appointments and elective surgeries, and I personally, I have a history of some very minor skin cancer things, but I've had to have a couple of them surgically removed, and my appointment got canceled, and you know, so needed procedures are getting canceled, and elective surgeries are getting canceled, and then I'm hearing stories about nurses being laid off because there's lack of work and all the rest. I'm thinking, what are we doing to ourselves here? So at that point, I just kind of went back and started doing a little research on what does it mean to be in a state of emergency? What's the definition? Because if we're not in a state of emergency, for crying's sakes, let's just stop this nonsense and go back to work. And what I found, interestingly, is there are two requirements. In order to be in a state of emergency, the government code section requires that you be able to meet a couple of definitions. And one of the definitions does say, which by reason and talking about the potential threat of a catastrophe or the existence of one, says which by reason of their magnitude are or are likely to be beyond the control of the services, personnel, equipment, and facilities of any single county, city and county, or city, and, it's got two parts, and require the combined forces of mutual aid region or regions to combat. And so that's the first definition that it has to meet, and the second definition that it has to meet is 8625C, which reads just very plainly, the governor finds that local authority is, current standard, is inadequate to cope with the emergency. So you have the one standard of it is or is likely to be, which allows for that prospective standard, and then we have the current standard, the governor, finds that the authority is inadequate to cope with the emergency. And so in the plain reading of that language, I went, well, wait a minute. You know, as we were sitting here with less than two digits worth of people in our hospital, we're not incapable of handling this emergency. And then I went back and did the research, you know, because we're all hearing about Los Angeles County and how Los Angeles County is the epicenter of this. And I thought, well, maybe Los Angeles County was overwhelmed and they met the definition of needing the regional, again, in 8558B, where it says, and require the combined forces of a mutual aid region. Well, maybe Los Angeles met that, I thought. And we discovered that according to the Department of Health in Los Angeles, their own website, their day with the most hospitalizations was April 28th. They had 1,814 people admitted to the hospital with COVID-related symptoms. So 1,814, that's a lot. However, on that same day, April 28th, they reported that they had 2,092 staffed unoccupied beds.
Wow.
They didn't even reach half of their capacity.
Wow.
On their busiest day in Los Angeles. So not only did we more rural counties, Placer County's got 400,000 people, but we've got, you know, vast expanses and have nobody. Did we more rural counties come nowhere near meeting the state of emergency definition? Los Angeles County never met the state of emergency definition. So how the hell are we still in a state of emergency?
Yeah. And so what was your next step?
Well, so After coming to that realization, I brought a resolution to our Board of Supervisors, and in the resolution, again, just quoting the very plain language, all of this is contained in Article 13 of the California Government Code. Article 13 defines all the conditions of a state of emergency. Code 8625 is the definition of what the governor must find in order for us to be in a state or to declare a state of emergency. And then all the way through 8628, it defines what the governor's fairly extraordinary powers are during a state of emergency. And then it concludes with 8629. And the very plain language of 8629 is, the governor shall proclaim the termination of a state of emergency at the earliest possible date that conditions warrant. And I looked at it and I said, well, not only are we at the date the conditions warrant, we never actually got to the point where conditions were justified for a state of emergency. We did this entire thing, as you pointed out, we did this entire thing based on models that were false, but models that showed that we were going to have millions of Americans dead from this disease. And just by virtue of our population, millions of Americans means hundreds of thousands of Californians, which means a significant part of our local population. And so we all, on March 9th, I voted for the state of emergency proclamation here in Placer County, because on March 9th, we didn't have data. We had models, and the models were showing us it was warranted. But the law says, at the earliest possible date that conditions warrant, you, Governor, shall proclaim the termination of state of emergency. And so I took that to our board. Our board adopted the resolution with this language in it and packaged it up, sent it off to the governor. And then the next day I sent a little email basically saying, by what authority are you doing this? And I copied the Attorney General, Javier Becerra, on that email. And that was on May 6th. May 5th, we passed a resolution. May 6th, I sent the email to the governor and to Javier Becerra. I have not heard back from Javier Becerra, even though I laid out the entire case of what the obligation is. And he, by virtue of his job, is responsible for making sure that California state law is followed. I know he thinks his job is to sue the current administration in Washington, because that's what he spends all his time doing.
But unreal.
That's not really his job. So anyway, that was kind of what kicked this whole thing off, and it's been interesting. The response I got from the director of the Office of Emergency Services has been interesting. Everything's been interesting from that point forward.
Well, what we'd like to hear too is, I know that one of the things I really admired you on was your stance on the video. There was a lot of passion on that. You were discussing a lot of things, and I want to say a couple things before the break, but I'd like you to stay over. Can you stay over past 9:30?
Certainly.
Great, because I really want to let you expand on the emails back and forth from you and was it Mark Ghilarducci?
Yes.
And and that just, I mean, it's just, it's great stuff, folks. You know, we haven't been taking phone calls, but we'll take them now. 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, if you have a phone call for Kirk. He's a board of supervisor from Placer County. He stood up, and frankly, I believe that it was miraculous after you were done with what you were doing there, Kirk, that all of a sudden, I know our county got an email from the governor's office, oh, you can go to phase two.
Yeah.
That's why I think your response and your doing this without any fear, doing this and saying, hey, you know, this is the right thing to do. One thing I want to read, and then we'll go off for a break, and then we'll bring Kirk back. But this is Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution. We the people establish government with the sole duty to protect the rights of the governed. Now, is the state doing that? No, they're not. Is the governor doing that? No. Remember, he fenced off everything in front of the Capitol. You can't even go on the grounds that you own. Government derives all its just power from the consent of the governed. The California Constitution, this is Article 3, Section 1, and the United States Declaration of Independence provide that whenever any government is destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to establish government more suitable to their needs. And I know in the California Constitution, you can go to Article 18, Clause 3, and that is the thing in the California Constitution to where you can actually change the California Constitution with amendment, and the people can do that through initiative. So just some little tidbits there as we go on next week and the week after. We'll have Chris Ann Hall on talking about a lot of this stuff. I mean, is there sedition and insurrection by the government? And we'll talk also a little bit about Becerra after we hear Kurt's back and forth in the response from the governor's office, which to me, my good friend, is amazing. I, you know, you show a lot of restraint. Is there any cats left alive in your neighborhood? I mean, you know, I really wonder. Anyway, my friend, we'll be back in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, time has come for 51. Let's get her done.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is on the tier. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a hard life.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Leave this world and live in the sky. I left the C-130 out of Fort Worth town. I go up some days, I don't want to come down. Well, I fly that plane, call the angel flight. Come on, brother, you're with me tonight. Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the angel flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. I love my family and I love this land. But tonight this flight's for another man. We do what we
good
do.
Good song.
You heard the call.
Good song, yeah.
Some gave a little, but
Anyway, I thought I'd give us something mellow. Anyway, Kirk, we were talking about how you came to a realization as a board of supervisor in Placer County, and you got this resolution going, and you're saying, hey, wait a second, this really doesn't meet the COVID situation we were told about. I mean, we have 668 beds, and we have like 8 people in them,
yeah.
And we're laying off nurses. Well, if you have a state of emergency, why do you lay off the people you need? I mean, isn't
right.
And so you came to all this stuff, and you got a little fired up. So you sent off an email. So we want to hear that story. You said, and then you got something back, and then you did your videos, and then you kept doing your videos. So, I mean, I don't know how many pots of coffee and how many cats you killed in your neighborhood, but you just really, I mean, you went after it, brother. So anyway, go right ahead.
So on, as I indicated on the 5th, our board adopted the resolution that called upon the governor to follow the plain language of the law and this occupation of our state that he has initiated. And the next day I sent an email to the governor as the resolution was being communicated to him from our county executive office. I sent an email to the governor and CC'd Javier Becerra on the email and just, they put the question straight to him, said, by what authority are you keeping us under this lockdown, and are you dictating to counties how to proceed forward? Because we don't meet the definition of state of emergency, and so I don't get it. Explain to me why you think he... Well, I didn't get a response from the governor. I didn't get a response from the attorney general. I did, interestingly, get a reply from Mark Ghilardici, who is the director of the governor's office of emergency services. And Mark, obviously, this was on Friday, so Monday we adopted the resolution. By Friday, I had this response. Mark evidently had staff spend fairly considerable time working on his response, because his email to me was a page and a half, but there was a full page of footnotes where they had gone back and obviously spent some time researching our board's actions, because he spent most of his letter quoting to me my votes in support of the state of emergency. And so how dare I question the existence of a state of emergency on May 6th? Why would I ever question the existence of a state of emergency on May 6th when on March 9th, 2 months prior, I voted for the state of emergency? That was basically his whole argument in his reply to me. Didn't address any of the legal questions that I raised, didn't address the issue of by what authority. He just said, well, you did. You back in, 2 months ago, you thought we were going to be, well, duh, we all did. But where this got really interesting, and I know that my colleagues in several counties have received similar letters, but the difference here is they received letters from him threatening to cut off their emergency funds because of official actions of their board. I simply sent an email to the governor, yes, as an elected supervisor, but as a citizen. I sent an email to the governor saying, hey, would you mind explaining what your authority is? And his response back was, because of my improvident rhetoric.
Now, he named you.
Yes. No, wow. This was a letter just to me.
Just to you.
Was,
oh, my gosh.
This was to me personally.
Oh,
this
my
was not
gosh.
To our board of yes. This was not to our board of supervisors.
Oh, man.
This was a letter to me personally.
Oh, we'll have to talk on the side. You could be a rich man. Anyway, go ahead.
Because of my improvident rhetoric, I was putting at jeopardy the emergency funding for our county. That was his communication to me personally. And, of course, that got shared with my colleagues and all of that, and it might have also gotten shared with the Federal Department of Justice. It might have gotten shared with them. But I will break some news on here on your program. When I did my video about this letter, one of the people who saw this video happens to be a wonderful patriot who loves his country and loves his state, He's a state employee whose job as an attorney is to terminate state employees who are misbehaving while on the job. And he saw my video, and he sent me a little note saying, hey, I want to let you know that that letter was a violation of this and this and this. And he's quoting me chapter and verse where Mr. Ghilarducci violated all these different state employment rules and all the rest. And he said, if you'd like, I'm happy to draft up a complaint to the state personnel office, and we can file a complaint against Mr. Ghilarducci. So earlier this week, that's what went off to the state personnel board.
Wow. You know, also, you might want to tell your friend, he probably already knows this, and this is probably one of the things he quoted. You know, Title 42 of the United States Code, Code Section 1983, makes it totally, 1,000,000% legal for you to sue, actually, Mr. Ghilarducci. That's United States Code, Title 42, 1983, and you can look that up. There's all kinds of things. I mean, and I'm not saying that, you know, you would or you will, or but you can. And the interesting thing about this isn't just a civil lawsuit. This is condoned by the United States Code. This is something where, I mean, this Ghilarducci guy, I'm telling you, wasn't very smart in writing back to you. When he singled you out, and he actually used your name and singled you out of this deal?
The letter is addressed to Kirk Hewler. It is not addressed to the Plasticani Board of Supervisors. It's addressed to Kirk Hewler. And the letter says, due to my improvident rhetoric, you are jeopardizing the... and now here's the other really interesting thing to your point. I sent that email to the governor's office and to the attorney general. That was the only response I got. Do you not think that that was coordinated between the governor's office and the attorney general? That they said, we're going to have Mark send this response to Kirk, to Javier Becerra.
Wow.
So, hey, Javier, you know, stand down. We got this. I guarantee you that was coordinated. Otherwise, why wouldn't I not have heard something from the Attorney General's office? And by the way, I took the entirety of my legal reasoning on the insufficiency of the current state of emergency proclamation. I took the entirety of that a week later. It's a page and a half of citation and explanation. And I had it reviewed by the chief counsel at one of the very prominent civil rights, more conservative civil rights firms, public interest firms in Sacramento. Chief counsel reviewed it, said, you're absolutely right on the law. I packaged that up and sent it off to the attorney general middle of last week.
Yeah.
And still have not heard anything.
Are you talking about the Attorney General of the State of California or the United
States? State of California, yes, State of California.
You need to probably...
Basically, I'm trying to work through these guys whose job it is to obey the state law.
Well,
you know, I'm doing everything I can.
I know, and that's great, but, you know, really and truly, it's got to be bar for a couple reasons. But,
I don't disagree.
I want to get back to this thing about how they... It seems to me, now I'm saying this is a question, only a question, because some people could see it this way, but if I'm getting this straight, just in, you know, simple folk term, and that is that these guys, the executive branch, and frankly, the attorney general of the state of California basically had this guy write you an email. He writes you an email.
Oh, it's a formal letter.
This is crazy. Okay, and
Governor's Office of Emergency Services letterhead.
Oh, man. Okay, so you get this sent to you, and it's saying because of the way you approached us and how you talked and what you said, we're going to hold back funds from your county.
I don't like what you said to me.
Sounds like
blackmail. I don't like the way...
It sounds like extortion. I mean, it sounds that way. I'm not saying it is, but I mean, it's...
Okay,
wow.
I'm saying it is.
Okay, well, listen, we're gonna hold you over. Can you stay over for another...
Certainly.
Because I know people are really, really interested in this. This is... Man, I'm telling you, Kirk, this is... They're the gift that keeps on giving, brother. I'll tell you that. Unbelievable. And we'll talk a little bit about Becerra and some of the troubles he's going to have with the United States Code. But anyway, well, we'll be back right after the break. So time has come for 51. Let's get her done.
I was just out of the service, thumbing through the classifieds, when an ad that said old Chevy somehow caught my eye. The lady didn't know the year or even if it ran, but I had that $1,000 in my hand. It was way back in the corner of this old ramshackle barn, with 30 years of dust and dirt on that green army tarp. And when I pulled the cover off, it took away my breath. What she called a Chevy was a 66 Corvette. I felt a little guilty as I counted out the bills. What a thrill I got when I sat behind the wheel. I opened up the glove box and that's when I found the note. The date was 1966 and this is what he wrote. He said, my name is Private Andrew Malone, and if you're reading this, then I didn't make it home. But for every dream that shattered, another one comes true. This car was once a dream of mine, now it belongs to you. Though you may take her and make her your own, always be riding with Private Malone.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
It is Memorial Day. We want to thank everyone who served. We want to thank everyone who is... There's no thanking for that. But we need to remember those who passed, defending our country, giving their all to defend us and give us liberty. And we always want to remember them. God bless their families, and God bless America. We're here with Kirk Euler, and it's an amazing, some amazing stuff here. In fact, the host of Sovereign Minds, who does the program right behind us, we sort of work as brothers and sisters in this on these two programs. Kirk, would like me to give her your phone number, if that's okay, to do an interview.
Absolutely. Please feel free to share my number with her. That'd be great.
We've got a lot of other programs, even on other stations. Is that okay with you?
Of course.
Okay, brother. Hey, if you do end up, you know, with this Title 42 1983 thing and one of those guys have a boat, I expect you to take me fishing. I'm bringing the beer. All right. Sally likes White Zinfandel. All right. So, okay, so party on Kirk's boat. But in all seriousness, I mean, this is astounding to me. And, you know, I was looking it up. In 7 hours, you had 128,403 views. 7 hours, brother. I mean, this is crazy. You know, and to have a situation where, you know, you wonder where some of the other supervisors are. I know Roger Gitlin, who's a very good friend in Del Norte County, great guy. Real patriot, and of course Jim Beard in Sierra County. There's some great people out there. See, that's something else that actually Kirk and I were talking about this morning a little bit, and that is that, you know, a lot of times you say, you know, we need to throw the bums out. Well, do we? I mean, do we? really and truly, I mean, when people come out, I mean, come on, this guy we have on the phone right now, he's hanging it out there. I mean, come on, I mean, is he not? So anyway, what's your next move, my friend? Where do you go from here besides, you know, being asked to speak everywhere? And I got to tell you, man, you need to get some sun on your legs.
What?
You had shorts on yesterday, and there's two things that those legs needed, either long pants or barbecue sauce, man. I'm telling you.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't had a lot of time to get out and play golf or ride my bike or do much of anything while this nonsense has all been going on. Otherwise, you know, I would. By this time, I would be far enough into my training. I'm a triathlete. I've done two Ironmans. And so by this time of the season, normally I've got a pretty decent tan going on my legs. But with all this going on, I haven't been on my bike. I can't even tell you the last time. I haven't been in Folsom Lake doing any swim training or anything. So the next steps are, and this is the delicate balance that we have to walk, because as I'm trying to encourage every county board and city council to go at the governor on the premise of, you don't have the legal authority to do this anymore. Quit saying, you know, once we hit this stage or you have this many contact tracers or you have, mm-hmm. you know, this few number of deaths or whatever, mm-hmm. then you can arbitrarily, you know, it's like we're playing chutes and ladders with this clown. It's, you know, knock this crap off. Yeah. Recognize the law. We got this handled at the local level. Y'all go back to, you know, getting your hair cut and your teeth polished and leave us alone. We got it taken care of. But he while we've got this situation, I've got to play both roles, unfortunately. I got to play the role of, no, you don't have the authority, but at the same time, I got to recognize that until a court steps in or Javier Becerra steps in and says, Governor, you don't have this authority, I have to recognize that he is acting as if he has the authority, and as a county, which is an agency of the state, it's a creation of the state, unlike cities. You know, cities are creations of the people. Counties are creation of the state. We've got to play his little reindeer game here. But to your point, it was precisely 24 hours after our board adopted our request to accelerate through phase two and get our restaurants open and all the rest. It was precisely 24 hours after that he opened up, I want to say it was 12 counties. Placer was the largest of the 12 counties to move through stage two and get restaurants open. Well, is it coincidental that right after our board in open session had the conversation about accelerating through phase two and sending the letter to the governor, we went into closed session to have the conversation about initiating litigation against the governor. And in that closed session, my colleagues expressed a lot of opinions, and I'm not telling any tales out of school here, but one of the opinions was, we will wait and see what the governor does with our request to accelerate, and if the governor does not honor our request to accelerate, we'll meet again and have this conversation. And within 24 hours, we had our waiver, and we were allowed to move forward. So I think the more that cities and counties in particular, but cities have a role, the more that they provide that kind of pushback, you don't have the authority. That's how we're going to ultimately end this thing.
You're right. And the other thing is, too, you mentioned contact tracers. We got an article in paper today. Now, we've had 34 total COVID cases, 34 in our county of 190,000. Now, out of that, four died. Two were in their mid-90s, gee whiz. And, you know, I mean, it's all a tragedy, but, I mean, okay. I mean, we had probably more people die of car accidents. I mean, the whole point is we now have contact tracers, and in the paper this morning it says we have dozens of them. Why do you need dozens of contact tracers when you've had 34 cases, period? That's
right.
Taxpayer money. It's just in our county is out of control. Richard, I'm going to take your call, but you got to be really quick, and you've got to stay on point, please, with our guest, because he's only got about 3 minutes left. So what you got?
Hi, is that me, Rich?
Yeah, Richard, it's you, but you've got about a minute because we want to finish up with our guest.
Okay, so when you go to state personnel board, which is administrative, you're going to get a form that asks you one chance to exclude one of the judges. Please exclude Gregory Brown. When I was fired from state employment, one of my accusations against me was lying, which I knew was not true. I proved that during the hearing. I asked them to expose the state employee that accused me of lying so I could charge them administratively. The attorney and the judge both agreed that was protected work product, and I was not entitled to that information to face my accuser.
Wow.
Those judges are not accountable to the Commission on Judicial Performance because I was going to file a complaint against Judge Brown. So they're basically glorified traffic judges. So please take that to heart when you go to the board. Thank you.
That's good insight. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you, Richard. So we've got about 2 minutes left. And also, as I said, thanks for your permission to hand your number over to a few more radio programs. And just about all of them podcast and archive worldwide. So the word is gotten out on this stuff. Just amazing stuff. And Kirk, also, just before I give you the last couple of minutes to button things up, I want to let you know that feel free to call in here anytime. 9 o'clock is when we start our program on Sunday mornings. Every Sunday morning, you can call in anytime you want as you have updates on what's going on. This is
wonderful.
This is huge. I mean, a lot of people. I mean, and I know you have no idea, and that's a God thing. God's giving you the, he hasn't really said, you know, this is really explosive. Brother, you had 130,000 hits in 7 hours, man. There were counties were getting letters after you did this. And it was with and folks, you need to go on YouTube and watch this, because this guy, he's got some passion on this. So anyway, you got about a minute and a half here, brother, so if you could bring us home, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I just really want to implore your listeners. It has never been more important for you to know your local elected officials and get engaged with them. Schools are being subject to guidelines that were issued by the CDC that are completely unworkable. And again, they're guidelines. And so, you know, get in touch with your school board members. Hell, they're your neighbors. These are people that you look at your ballot and you're going, I don't know who are these people? They're your neighbors. They live in your community. Reach out to your school board neighbors and let them know. Ignore those stupid guidelines. I guarantee you the CDC sent those out to schools without Betsy DeVos knowing that those were going out, because Betsy DeVos is a freedom-loving patriot. She and her husband are great Americans, and there's no way she would have signed off on those guidelines. So yeah, get to know your school board members and buck them up. These people need your support. I'm telling you, as an elected official, the vast majority of the time when I hear from people, it's because they're pissed off at me. I don't hear from people because they're happy with me. So let them know. Buck them up. Provide the support.
Encouragement.
The city council members need.
Yep. Encouragement. So
yeah.
Need to stop it right there, brother, because we've got a heartbreak coming with the news.
Yep.
Thank you so much, and we will talk to you soon. I'll give you